Welcome to the Ag Marketing Podcast. I'm Tegan, your host, and I am thrilled to dive into the dynamic world of digital marketing in the rural agri sector. Here on this podcast, we're going to explore the unique challenges and opportunities of promoting agricultural products and services in rural areas using the internet. So whether you're a seasoned ag professional, or a rural business owner seeking fresh insights, or you could be an aspiring agri-marketer eager to soak up knowledge, this podcast is for you. But before we dive into this episode, let's take a moment to acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional owners of this country, past, present, and emerging. We recognise their deep connection to this land, their stewardship throughout generations, and their ongoing custodianship. I also want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to the hardworking farmers, organisations, grower groups and landowners who live, love and work on the land. So get ready for insightful conversations, insider tips and inspiring stories from those who are making things happen in the world of ag marketing. Thanks for joining me. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode on the Ag Marketing Podcast. I have a special guest joining me in this week's episode. Now, this person is someone who has a deep-rooted connection to agriculture, a passion for helping rural businesses thrive in the digital world, and a wealth of experience and knowledge in the website design and communication space. A very warm welcome to Jamie Thornbury. Jamie grew up on a sheep and wheat farm in central western New South Wales. Growing up on a farm instilled a deep appreciation in Jamie for the agricultural industry and rural life. And after graduating with a bachelor's in ag science, he embarked on a career in ag extension, working across various regions from central west New South Wales to north Queensland. Alongside that, Jamie also pursued his interests in website design and communications. I hope that you enjoy this episode where I dive into Jamie's career and his top tips for website design and SEO. Enjoy. Jamie, g'day and welcome to the Ag Marketing Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here.
Hey, how you going? Glad to be joining you.
Thank you. So we're going to chat a little bit about your career and your expertise in website and SEO. I would also love to touch on some opinions that you have in this episode in terms of rural marketing and ag and communications. But first, through your work and your freelancing, what methods have you found to be most effective in reaching and engaging with rural and agribusiness clients online?
Yeah, so I think there's a few ways that I sort of go about engaging with clients. First of all, I think the most effective method I've found is finding a good like-minded community to be part of. So I usually reach out to a community of local freelancers. That way you can sort of feed off each other, and if you have any overflow work or they do, they can sort of outsource it to you. So I'm part of a copywriting community that does quite a bit of that at the moment, the Clever Copywriting community. So that's always good to keep work ticking along. In terms of the second one, I would say I probably Google My Business is absolutely massive. So if you don't have a Google My Business profile, I would suggest, yeah, getting that one done and getting in the local pack for Google.
In terms of looking to improve marketing efforts and attracting more clients, can you tell the listeners what your biggest, I guess, best tactics might be in that space?
So yeah, when it comes to marketing tactics, I've always liked to focus on the online space. And when it comes to SEO, develop a bit of a content strategy when starting out. So get a really good deep understanding of what your clients are really looking for when it comes to your services and their pain points are as well, I suppose. And then tailoring your services to best address those. I think that would have to be my best marketing strategy for that one.
Yeah. And you talked about website and SEO. Where could a business start when it comes to that space? So there are some listeners out there who might not even have a website, or they have one and they're thinking, what the heck is SEO and how do I even get started in this space? Can you share us a little bit more maybe step-by-step points?
Yeah, like SEO could definitely be a bit daunting at first, but always the best place to start is to build a bit of a digital launch platform, as I like to call it. So I'd like to start with Google My Business page. So if you haven't got one of those, it's completely free. Jump online and set one of those up. And then also getting a website done as well, just contact details and your business name, and make sure that you've got each of your business's services on an individual landing page as well. So that way you're going to perform a lot better in your local search. So if someone's looking for stud breeders or something like that in your local town, you have a much better chance of ranking for those terms if you have a page dedicated for that service.
Can we chat about Google Ads? Because I think there's a lot of talk about it in the industry at the moment, and to try and help with ranking in search engines. What's your take on Google Ads, and how might a agribusiness approach this?
Yeah, so Google Ads can be a bit of a challenging one. I would only look at ads if you've got your website really fine-tuned. So first of all, it'd be good to have your organic search really down pat, your ranking for local search terms, because that's all free traffic that you can really get through local search. And when it comes to Google Ads, if you're dead set about going down that track, make sure that your website is up to date and designed to convert, because you can end up paying quite a bit of money per click. And if your website's not effectively converting that traffic, you can do a lot of money very quickly.
And you also offer copywriting, SEO keyword research as part of your services on top of website design. Do you find that it's being utilized enough in the ag industry by agribusinesses, the power of the internet marketing?
I think there's definitely a lot more that could be done for agribusinesses. It is definitely a tough one when engaging with customers online for a lot of agribusinesses, because they're so used to using those older mediums, whether it be the newspaper or the yellow pages. But it's definitely worth getting online and starting to develop a bit of a marketing strategy moving forward, because that's where everyone is these days. So yeah, I don't think you have much of a choice there.
Absolutely. And it's so much becoming a lot more affordable too. I mean, the initial setup can be, you know, an investment, but it just pays off. I know that this is a little bit of maybe a boring topic for some, but analytics and the power that digital marketing, particularly websites, the data it can show us, what's sort of your take on that, and what are you looking for when your clients come to you and ask, you know, how are we tracking? How are we trending? Are we ranking on Google? Like, what's sort of your advice there?
Yeah, well, the analytics has definitely been a massive opportunity. It's probably one of the best things about going online, because in the old days, if you were in the yellow pages, you never knew if anyone's actually looking at your business, and you only really knew if they picked up the phone. So yeah, it's fantastic to be able to see a lot of your website analytics. Like, I'd be tracking your bounce rate on your website and then figuring out how many of those are actually picking up the phone or sending through an email to become a client.
It's absolutely a space that's evolving, particularly with AI coming in as well. Are you sort of watching that space with keen interest, or are you like looking to adapt that into helping you with analytics and tracking and supporting your clients with conversions? Is that something that interests you as well?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a role for AI to help generate a lot of content a lot quicker. So you can use it to structure content. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound quite human enough yet in a few ways. So you still have to do quite a bit of editing yourself. But yeah, there is massive opportunity to be able to create digital content with AI at the moment.
If someone did not have a website and they were starting from scratch, what steps would you take to support them to build an online digital presence?
The first step you always need to take is setting up that Google My Business profile. It's just like the yellow pages used to be, I guess. Always think of that ad, the Not Happy Jan ad. It's sort of like that with the Google My Business profile these days. You need to get that established and done. The second one would be, of course, just get any sort of website online. Go out, get that domain name and get it established, even if it's just a one-page site with your contact details. That's all you need to get started. And then the third one would have to be get some business reviews kicking in. So any clients that you've got, make sure you're reaching out to them and just asking if they'd be happy to leave you a Google My Business review, because they're definitely worth their weight in gold having some reviews.
So if someone's looking to register a domain name, who would you suggest they look up? And I can include this link in the show notes.
Yeah, to register domain names, GoDaddy is always a good bet. And if you're not feeling too comfortable with that, you can always reach out through a website designer as well to do sort of the whole process.
I'll drop your details, your business details in the show notes, because strongly encourage anyone listening to support Jamie in his fantastic freelancing business based out of Bendigo. So they've jumped into GoDaddy. They've had a look. Okay, they've got their business name. They might want to register. How many sort of different variations and what is there available for business owners when they go to register their domain name?
Yeah, so of course you would always try to go for the .com.au for your domain name if you can. And if you can't get that one, the .com's always okay. I try to avoid any other prefixes outside of those two if you can. But if you're absolutely set on that business name, yeah, you might just have to settle for .whatever it may be that suits your business.
Okay. Yeah, that's the tough one, isn't it? Is if you've got a business name and someone already has the domain name. So, yeah, it's just trying to, as soon as you've got that, try and figure out if the domain name's available, if the business registration name's available before either starting that brand or, yeah, it's tricky though with an established business.
Yeah, it can be a little bit tricky, but I think due to Australia's rules around domain names, people can't buy domains in bulk. So if you have that ABN business name, then it is very likely that you'd be able to get the domain name as well.
That's really cool.
Whereas that's not really the case in America, I don't think.
Right. That is actually really awesome because, yeah, if your ABN reflects the same name as your domain, then you've got access to that and rights to that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So I think the rule usually is that the domain name that you purchase needs to be directly related to your business name or the services that you offer. So that does restrict people buying domains in bulk. Mm,
yeah, great. Okay, cool. So is there any issues? I think that answers my question around the issues on people stealing domain names and trying to mimic or create a brand identity on the internet with, you know, spammers, scammers, whatever. Is that a very real issue at the moment or is it something to be aware of?
I think it's definitely something you should be aware of. But when it comes to online, make sure all of your contact details are consistent across all your platforms. So right from your Google My Business page to your website and then even your Yellow Pages listing and any other directories you might be part of. And at least if they're all consistent, those pages will be prioritized in the search results and hopefully you won't get a lot of those scammers moving up in the search results.
Mm. And speaking of search results, so organic content, I've always just heard of the rule of thumb that to support keywords, organic search, keeping your website updated with blogs, articles quite regularly. Is that's still a very real tactic to use in this day and age now, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's always a challenging one when it comes to a content marketing strategy. It's usually the second or third step in the process once you've got all the foundations in place. So I would prioritize getting your SEO absolutely nailed for your main service pages and your website. And then if you're looking to strengthen the SEO performance of those service pages, then look at starting up a blog and establishing yourself as a real authority in that area.
Great. And yeah, getting the foundations of that website built is probably number one, isn't it? To get some really good landing pages up there to encourage people from social media, get on the website and join a mailing list. So is there any other tactics to help with converting cold audiences, do you think, into warm leads that you can think of other than utilizing website forms?
Yeah, well, you probably just touched on the main one being the mailing list. So that's the best way to gather cold leads and then warm them up and and get them more familiar with your business. So if you can get someone to be part of a mailing list and they follow you for a while, they're more familiar with the services that you're offering and what your real point of difference is. So I think that's probably the best way. I've seen people use online communities as well in the past to establish some authority in the space. They're definitely worth having a bit of a look into. And then, of course, yeah, social media is fantastic. It just depends on your niche and what you're looking to specialize in.
Yeah, fantastic. That's such great advice for someone out there who just has no idea where to start and what to do when it comes to, yeah, building an online presence. So thank you very much for your time, your expertise. Where can our listeners actually find you to engage your website design, SEO and copywriting services?
So you can find me at jamiethornberry.com.au and jump over there and have a look at the site and let me know if I can help you out in any way.
Yeah, and you've got some great packages outlined as well, so highly recommend. I'll also add your website into the show notes to make it really easy for listeners to go in there and take a look. Thank you very much. Is there any final, I guess, words of wisdom that you might want to leave with our listeners in terms of digital marketing, website, SEO, domain names?
I think my final word would be just build that online launch platform, as I like to call it. It's usually a combination of a website page, a Google My Business page, and then a directory like the Yellow Pages, just to make sure that your contact details are up to date. There's nothing worse than ringing through a phone that you're not at that location anymore. It's now a butcher shop and they answer. So, yeah, keep those contact details up to date and consistent online.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to hearing any feedback from our listeners. Feel free to screenshot this episode and tag Jamie and I in your stories or posts. And if you've got any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Thank you so much, Jamie, for joining me.
Thank you. Glad to join in.
And that's a wrap for this episode. I hope that you found this topic insightful and packed with valuable takeaways. Thank you so much for tuning in and being part of the Ag Marketing Podcast community. Your support means the world to me. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes where we continue to explore the ever-evolving world of ag marketing and bring you the best insights to help you thrive. And if you're looking for extra support in your marketing endeavors, please be sure to visit the Mallee Marketing website. I would love to have a chat with you. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to show your support, here's what you can do. Firstly, I would be incredibly grateful if you could please take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your favorite podcast platform of the Ag Marketing Podcast. Your feedback really does help us reach more listeners and brings more amazing guests to the show. And secondly, if you know someone who could benefit from the information we shared today, don't hesitate to share this episode with them, because you just never know how much of an impact a little bit of information or a conversation might have on their marketing and their business. And lastly, if you have any questions, topic suggestions, or if there's a particular guest that you would love to listen to on the Ag Marketing Podcast, please reach out to me. You can find us on social media at Mallee Marketing, or visit our website, malleemarketing.com.au, to connect. And remember, successful marketing is within your reach. So until our next episode, keep pushing boundaries and be sure to continue to show up and share your unique impact and contribution to the ag industry. Catch you next time.